Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our meeting today. Thank you, brothers, for leading us. We wish everybody a great week coming up in the Lord's service and enjoying His blessings. And thank you ahead of time to those of you who will be helping serve our families in different ways. I have one goal this morning. I'd like to try to encourage our faith by holding up a positive example with whom I think most of us can identify. With the world like it is, we may wonder whether a regular guy with usually a rational approach to things can believe that Jesus is actually the Son of God. Can a very practical person commit himself or herself to the conviction that real life is found in the Lord? And while we recognize to start with that not everybody makes, maybe none of us, make our decisions about things like this on just an entirely irrational basis. I mean, we know that what we want to do and who we want to please can have a big impact on what we do with information. That doesn't mean that there isn't sufficient reason for a real world type of a person to believe in Jesus. There is. The Gospel of John calls our attention to that. And my friend Philip, I call him my friend Philip because I find myself understanding him, I think, when I read about him. My friend Philip is a great example of a person who tends to think on the physical level and who tends to try to operate by reason and so forth, can still over time come to believe deeply in the Lord and to be a great disciple of His. Jesus may even have sought Philip out for our benefit in this way, to show that you don't have to quit thinking to believe in the Lord. I'll have to go as quickly as I can, but what we can see in Philip is that the first disciples, including him, were not gullible dupes who just easily jumped to an unfounded conclusion about who Jesus was and got carried away with it. The four scenes that we have about Philip from the Gospel of John reveal a fella who struggles with things and who grows over time and who still, last time we see him, is still trying to put it all together. And yet, every time we read about him, he's still believing in the Lord and following the Lord. If anything, Philip was inclined to see the practical problems before he recognized the spiritual principles, and yet he still believes, and that's the main thing about him. Here's what stands out when we first read about him, John 1, verses 43 and following. Now, you remember Andrew has just told Peter, we have found, he just found Peter and said, we have found the Messiah, and then I don't know for sure if you can see this, but the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now there are things about Philip that we can notice in this passage. His name, by the way, is a Greek name. It means lover of horses. He and Andrew are the only two of the 12 who have Greek names. This Philip is not the same one that we read about in Acts, who's an evangelist or a servant of the church. He's from Bethsaida, which is a town right on the north corner of the Sea of Galilee, just to the east of where the river ran into the sea. Whenever he appears, he's almost always alongside Andrew, one time in connection with Thomas even. While Andrew had followed Jesus and found Jesus as a seeker, John tells us the Lord personally sought out Philip. He found Philip, and he said to Philip, "Follow me." And Philip does. Philip is ready to be found, willing to be found. Then he finds Nathanael. By the way, the best means of spreading the good news is still just like this. Find someone and say, "Come and see." And that's what, as you can see, that's what Philip does. We found him. Now, he doesn't understand everything about Jesus yet. For example, he knows him just as the son of Joseph. He seems to have regarded him as a prophet. But he has reason to begin believing the scriptures that he knew were talking about Jesus. Jesus is who these things and Moses and the prophets were talking about. Now, what I want to say to us is that reaching that conclusion seems to just happen easily here in this passage, but when we read the rest of the story, we can see that it doesn't. You know, Philip might have been able to share some of the skepticism of Nathanael, who you may remember goes ahead to say, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Just on the physical level, looking at where people come from and who we think they are and what conclusions we jump to about them, that might have been a problem. But Philip could just say, "Come and see." And he has to let Jesus do the convincing. Things go along, and we meet Philip again in John chapter 6 in the story of the feeding of the 5,000. If you look at that passage in verses 5 through 7, big crowd has come out to hear Jesus teach. And John tells us that lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread that all these people may eat?" Some have suggested he might have been asking Philip because Philip was from that area and might have known the resources. But you notice it goes ahead to say he said this to test him. He's using this as a growth opportunity for Philip. He's helping Philip work through some of the problems that Philip may have had in believing. It says, "For he himself knew what he would do." And sure enough, Philip has been looking at the practical situation. 8 months' wages for a working fella would not buy enough bread for each one of these people just to have a snack, much less for us to feed them a meal like they all need. You can see that Philip is looking at things realistically, and that Jesus is trying to teach him about some things that he can't see and some resources he doesn't have. Move over next to the third time that Philip appears in John chapter 12, in verses 20 and following. This is within the last week. This follows the triumphal entry and all of that. The cross is just ahead. And it tells us that now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. These would be Hellenists. They would be Greek-speaking, Greek culturally, but who admired the God of Israel, the one God, and who admired the moral standards that were taught by the scriptures and who even had come up to worship. Maybe they were not simply God-fearers, but proselytes. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, meaning he's from their territory back home, and ask him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." There's the simple request. Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. There seems to be some uncertainty in Philip about whether it'd be appropriate to take them to Jesus or not. Maybe he remembered them being sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Philip was the kind of a fella who used common sense, but who could be hesitant sometime to know exactly what to do in some situations like this. So he enlists Andrew's help, and they take these folks to Jesus. There's also something practical enough in Philip that he doesn't always grasp the implications of what he has heard and what he has seen. Are you like him yet? I'm like that a lot of times. But notice here in the last night, after the supper that we have remembered this morning, and that night before Jesus goes out to Gethsemane, the farewell discourse, he's tried to tell them, don't let your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. And I'm going, you know the way where I'm going. And then verse 8 of John 14. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. What Philip wants to do is to have an actual physical vision of God, the Father. If I could see him, I'd never have any trouble believing again. You might share that thought. But Jesus tells him, when you've heard what I have said, you've heard what the Father gave me to say. When you have seen what I did to help people and to change things, you have seen what the Father gave me to do. You should be able to know His character and His heart and His will by seeing what I've done and by hearing what I have said. Philip was the kind of a fella who wanted to do that but didn't find it easy. And yet, Philip was a disciple. He was an apostle of Christ. He's mentioned fifth in all of the lists that we have of them. He believed, in other words. Believing may not be easy, but it's possible for a practical person, a rational thinking person even. It's for thinking people. Believing is for thinking people who live in the real world. Do you think of believing that way? Or do you think you have to check your mind at the door in order to believe? How did a practical fellow like Philip, a man who had to struggle to grasp spiritual implications, how did that fella get turned into a strong servant of the Lord and follower of Jesus? I'll leave you five quick things and then we'll go home today. Number one, Philip's faith survived because he had a friend who shared his faith and helped to strengthen him in it. You remember he had a Greek name like Andrew, and he's from the same town as Andrew, and that he often appears alongside Andrew. The connection with Andrew and the feeding of the 5,000 in John 6, or when the Greeks came wanting to show Jesus, show that Philip tended to lean on his friend's help. Philip had a friend he could identify with and depend on and turn to, and Philip's faith survived partly because of that. You and I might remember that friendship is one of the strongest supports of faith that there is. We can remember As brothers and sisters, we want to be friends. We can make it easier for each other to believe. That's one of the greatest ministries that we can have. We shouldn't lose that amidst our programs and our ideas and our busyness. Be friends. A second factor that built Philip's faith is that he had some knowledge of the Scriptures, even of the Old Testament Scriptures. That's why he introduced Jesus to Nathanael like he did. He knew there was going to be a prophet like Moses that he should obey, and that's why he's willing to do what Jesus said. So notice this. Philip's belief in Jesus actually began his belief in the Scriptures. How do we deepen our belief in Jesus? One way is to let the Lord write on our hearts and our consciences what His Word says. What Scripture says is the seed from which our faith grows, the food that nourishes it, and the patience and comfort by which it survives. A third factor that developed the faith of Philip was the able care of Jesus for him as he went along. Jesus becomes the actor in some of these scenes, and not just Philip. You may have noticed that Jesus sought him out. He sought a response from him as he prepared to feed the 5,000. And then he answered Philip's question in the presence of the other disciples that night. That means that Jesus was aware of the kind of person Philip was and what Philip needed in order to grow in his faith, and that Jesus took action so that Philip could believe and keep believing. The purpose of what the Lord said and did in relation to Philip was for Philip's faith to survive and to be well grounded. My own opinion in reading Scripture is that it promises the Lord and His providence will keep on working on us that way too. Not letting us be tempted above what we're able, providing a way of escape, giving resources that feed our spiritual lives. We shouldn't forget that in following the Good Shepherd, we're also under the Good Shepherd's care. The fourth reason Philip's faith grew or survived, the contributing factor, is that Philip seems to have been the kind of fellow, even when he had his limitations, he still seems to have done what he could every time you meet him. He acted in response to Jesus' invitation to follow him without any delay that one day. He said simply to Nathanael, "Come and see." And when the Greeks came to him, he at least went and told Andrew. He always did what he thought he could in that situation. Our faith will be okay too, each one of us, if we'll do that in our lives. If we'll just do the closest thing at hand, the next, what you hear said, the next right thing, the next good thing that we can, we'll be okay. Then the fifth thing, and maybe the most important and beautiful one in this whole story, the thing that helped Philip's faith was his desire above all else to simply see the Father. You have to notice in chapter 14 and verse 8 that even though Philip didn't understand everything, and even though Jesus has to answer him, "How can you say, show us the Father?" Philip was still the kind of fella for whom the main thing, "Show us the Father." To his heart, that would be enough. He'd be able to face anything. He'd be satisfied if he could just have a clear view of the Father. And Jesus invited him, and he invites us to believe that the Father is in him and that he's in the Father, and not to be troubled by what goes on around us in the world. How much like Philip are you? Which of these factors here that enabled his belief to grow might help you the most this week? Which one? Please remember this Monday, Tuesday, and so forth this week. Remember that the fact that Jesus sought out a fellow like Philip, enlisted him in his service, and led him to fully believe is evidence that we also can completely and safely believe in Christ. Do you? Are you someone whose faith is gradually formed and grown, and you hear him saying, "Follow me"? And are you at the place where you recognize his right to say that to such a degree that you would make the good confession and be united with Christ in baptism, joined with what he's done for us all, raised to walk in newness of life? If we could help you in that way, please let us do so today. You can come while we stand and sing. And everybody, remember, follow the Lord this week. If we can help you, come while we stand and sing.